Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it sleeps white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Live from the command center right here. At Reese on the Radio in the D.C. metro area, the DMV, I am your host, Reese on the Radio. That's right, Reese on the Radio, 2 minutes after the hour on this April the 3rd?
Yeah.
That's you. Tuesday, April the 3rd, 2012. I don't really keep track of dates. I'm trying to. All right, will you stop chastising me? You turn into an old
hag.
There you go. There's the word. That's Mary Mary, why you bugging in the background. But anyway, nonetheless, it's Reese on the Radio. We have returned. The number is 347-308-8701. Now, what have I been up to today? Several things. Several things. I had to get the newspapers to do their goddamn job. Now, alliteration aside, did you hear what I said? I said goddamn. Normally I say goddamn because I don't like using the Lord's name in vain. Today, goddamn. I had to get the newspapers to do their goddamn job. The paper in general we are talking about, the paper we're talking about today, is the Orlando Sentinel, which is at the center of the firestorm regarding the Trayvon Martin case. Now look him up, because I'm going to blast his name right here, and I told him I would. His name is Wiener. That's his name. It's his name. He's a writer at the Orlando Sentinel. Now find his name out somewhere. I think it's Jeremy Wiener or Jim Wiener or whatever it was. It doesn't matter. His last name's Wiener. That's funny to me.
Probably not so funny to him. Wouldn't you be really mad at your parents if they named you Wiener?
Well, if that's my last name, I have to stick with it.
Oh, well, I would change it.
Yeah, but anyway.
What's his first name?
I think it's Jill.
It's not Oscar? And his
name no. Martin. Not Oscar Wiener. Very funny. Anyway, so I contacted him today doing a little investigative reporting of my own. It turns out that Mr. Wiener of the Orlando Sentinel covered the story of Sherman Ware. And as I talked about it yesterday, Sherman Ware is the homeless man who was sucker punched from behind by the police lieutenant's son. It turns out that the police lieutenant's son was given probation for that ass whipping he put on Sherman Ware. Just probation. He got menacing, and that was it. He got off.
Of course.
But I called the Orlando Sentinel today and asked them whether or not they knew anything about this City Hall meeting that took place on January 8th, 2011, that was trying to get people to rally against the police lieutenant's son, Justin, who beat Sherman Ware. Now, I called and called and called the Sanford, Florida City Hall. Couldn't get anybody on the line, so I had to call and I had to create a ruckus. Finally got the Orlando Sentinel on the line. Finally got someone over at the Sanford, Florida City Hall. Got them on the line. I'm not going to blast the woman who helped me because she helped me. But she did look it up. Turns out January 8th was a Saturday in 2011. The only thing that she could not find out was whether or not the City Hall meeting took place inside or outside the Sanford, Florida City Hall. But she could get me information, if it did take place on the inside, who the organizer was. So what we are going to do here on Reese on the Radio, and now the Orlando Sentinel is on the job, thanks to yours truly. They are also going to find out whether or not there was a City Hall meeting that took place on January 8th, and if indeed George Zimmerman was involved. Now, when I told the folks over there at the Orlando Sentinel that this was reported, or this was purported in a letter written to the NAACP, they were very interested. Of course they were. Because they're eating off of this story. People are clamoring to get more and more news about George Zimmerman. Now we have to see whether or not the Orlando Sentinel or anybody else in the media is going to jump. See, I know that everybody else in the media is getting their news from the Orlando Sentinel. When the Orlando Sentinel just reported last week, or Sunday's paper this week, when they reported that two audio forensic bigwigs want to be leading audio testing Nurkrofts could say that George Zimmerman's voice was not the one screaming on the 911 call, every other media outlet jumped on it, reporting what the Orlando Sentinel reported. So I went straight to the head of the snake and got them on this story about Sherman Ware. When I told the Orlando Sentinel, did you guys hear that George Zimmerman may have been involved in the rally call to get this police officer's son arrested on a felony? The Orlando Sentinel knew nothing about it. They were shocked to hear it.
Right.
They said, no, I didn't know about that. That's what Mr. Wiener said. No, I had not heard that. I said, well, I've been trying to get in touch with the Sanford Town Hall, City Hall, to get some information on this. He goes, I'm going to work on it too. Let me get your number. That's also what the Sanford City Hall said. They wanted my number as well. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to hunt me down and kill me because I brought this up. But they are going to be investigating it because it would be a considerable turn of events if indeed George Zimmerman was trying to seek justice for a homeless black man who was beaten by a white policeman's son. Imagine the coup. For me personally, it was just happy to be back in doing it, doing what it is that I do best, investigating this garbage. For the rest of these morons who claim that they are reporters. They are not reporters. Let me be the first to tell you. They're not reporters. They're repeaters. They repeat what they're told. They don't investigate. They don't look at the small details. Now, all of this, the genesis of all of this was a letter that the Daily Caller published by a family member of George Zimmerman explaining that George Zimmerman was involved with this town hall meeting that took place on January 8th in Sanford, Florida at the Sanford, Florida City Hall. Well, everyone was focusing on the fact that this family member was telling the NAACP and all the other black groups that were out there to call off their dogs. No one even bothered to say, hey, is there any truth to George Zimmerman being involved in this protest? And I did. And when I asked, they all said, Well, I don't really follow the Daily Caller. I take everything that they report with a grain of salt. First thing I said to him was, screw the Daily Caller. I don't care whether or not you like the Daily Caller or not, but this is a development, don't you think? He goes, no. He says, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. He said, forget about the Daily Caller. This isn't about the Daily Caller. You don't have to repeat what it is that they say. But if someone is stating that George Zimmerman was involved with a protest that was getting justice for a black homeless person, isn't that news considering the narrative? Their answer was yes, of course. Why wouldn't it be? Now, I have to give an acknowledgement to Mr. Cornelius Carter. Cornelius Carter does a show here on Blog Talk Radio, and I had a long conversation with him today. And he was doing what it is that the rest of the media was doing, calling George Zimmerman a racial profiler. When I brought this information to him, he had no clue. He hadn't heard anything about this. He did not know the facts. So if I may, and indulge me, let me repeat to you what I said to him. I said, Mr. Carter, do you live in Sanford, Florida? His answer was naturally no. I said, and you think that this case was racial profiling, do you not? He agreed, yes, I do. Where are you getting your information, I asked. He said, from the media. He says, then you think that it was racial profiling based on the information that you get from the media? He said, yes. I said, so therefore the media would be responsible for pushing a narrative that this was racial profiling. Wouldn't that be the fairest assumption? And he agreed. Even Cornelius Carter had to stop and take a look at himself. And even he questioned the media bias in this case. I have another bombshell for you in all of this. In all of this. To give you a perfect example of the media's racial bias in all of this, first let me take you back. And when I said it yesterday to a member of our intrepid crew, Mr. James Montgomery, Kool-Aid Man as I call him, I brought him to ABC News. And ABC News' report of the George Zimmerman videotape of him going into the precinct when he was placed in handcuffs after the shooting of Trayvon Martin. Let's start with March 28th.
A brand new video tonight. This one in the Trayvon Martin case. ABC's Matt Gutman obtained pictures today of the man in the center of the spotlight, in the center of the argument and debate, the man who allegedly killed Martin while patrolling the neighborhood.
In exclusive video obtained by ABC News tonight, you can see George Zimmerman in handcuffs, walking into the Sanford Police Department to be questioned. This is the first time we've seen him the night of the shooting. You see him here, being frisked. He is wearing that red fleece jacket described by eyewitnesses the night he shot Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman claims it was self-defense, that Martin attacked him, punching him and slamming his head on the ground. But take a closer look at this video. We slow it down. No visible blood on his head or his nose or his clothes. We know he never went to the emergency room that night. And while Zimmerman claimed Martin towered over him, he looks well-built, hardly the portly image in this 2005 mugshot.
And that was reported by Matt Gutman. I want you to hear the name again, Matt Gutman, the man who is logging these reports on ABC News. 2 days later, on March 30th, Matt Gutman logged this report where he not only reiterates about no markings on George Zimmerman's head, but then shows the video to George Zimmerman's lawyer. Take a listen.
Latest on the Trayvon Martin shooting, that police surveillance video has raised all kinds of questions about exactly what happened the night he was killed by George Zimmerman. And now Zimmerman's brother is speaking out for the first time with his account. ABC's Matt Gutman has the story from Sanford, Florida.
For the first time, George Zimmerman's brother is speaking out about this. Surveillance video first obtained by ABC News showing the Neighborhood Watch volunteer cuffed inside the police department roughly 30 minutes after shooting Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman's brother, Robert, appearing on CNN's Piers Morgan Tonight, says he believes the video shows visible signs of injury.
We're confident the medical records are going to explain all of George's medical history. His nose looks swollen in that video, and a lot of these injuries take time, 24 36 hours, to show the bruising.
Zimmerman told police Martin punched him, crushing his head on the concrete. The police report notes blood on his head and nose, and that he was treated at the scene.
He was barely conscious. His last thing he remembers doing was moving his head from the concrete to the grass so that if he was banged one more time, he wouldn't be, you know, wearing diapers for the rest of his life and being spoon-fed by his brother.
In this police video, you see an officer examining the back of Zimmerman's head. Seconds later, zoom in. Some wonder, is this a gash on his head? Yet there are no bandages, no blood. And here, as he walks steadily through the station, his shirt and jacket appear unstained. And in this shot, his face shows no obvious signs of injury.
Does he look like he was beaten up to you? I can't tell anything from this video.
And while Zimmerman's brother says George Zimmerman has medical records, his attorney, Craig Sonner, couldn't say for certain if Martin received treatment.
Did Mr. Zimmerman seek medical treatment? That evidence is all going to come out when this case is litigated.
And it's not just the Zimmerman side that may seem a
Now, the part that Matt Gutman says that baffles the hell out of me, that he got away with it, he says that Zimmerman's lawyer couldn't say for certain that George Zimmerman received medical attention. And the audio that the lawyer says is that the evidence will come out. He didn't say, I can't say for certain. He says the evidence will come out. And then finally, and I won't even, yeah, I have to play the final one. On April 2nd, another 2 days later, or 3 days later, Matt Gutman of ABC News, who is logging these reports, who's down in Florida covering the story, then did this.
Now to an ABC News exclusive in the Trayvon Martin shooting case. We were the first to show you this surveillance video of George Zimmerman arriving at police headquarters the night of the shooting, seemingly uninjured despite claiming that he'd been in a life or death struggle. Well, this morning, you're about to see a new version of that same tape. ABC's Matt Gutman joins us now to show us what that reveals. And Matt, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Josh. So we took that video, we enhanced it, we redigitized it to find what we think is the clearest, sharpest image yet of what may have happened that night, revealing for the first time what appeared to be a pair of gashes or welts on George Zimmerman's head. This video, enhanced exclusively for ABC News, shows even more clearly the first moments after George Zimmerman arrived at the Sanford Police Department just after shooting Trayvon Martin. The entire raw video obtained by ABC News and clarified by Forensic Protection, Inc. sharpens the video from this to this. The sharper video now appearing to show some form of mark or gash on the back of Zimmerman's head. A police report from that night describes blood on the back of his head and his nose.
Enhanced videos are used by law enforcement to identify individuals' injuries. Well, what you're able to see in this enhanced video is marks on the back of Mr. Zimmerman's head.
Overnight, Orlando station WKMG obtained dispatch audio as emergency responders canceled the second ambulance called to take Zimmerman to the hospital.
Cancel second rescue up.
And as the clamor for Zimmerman's arrest grows...
All right, that part's not important. Now he's going back to the protesters. So Matt Gutman, three separate reports. First two reports, no injury. Last report, oh, it's enhanced. Oh, now appears to show gashes on the back of his head. Let me tell you how disingenuous Matt Gutman. Let me tell you how disingenuous Matt Gutman of ABC News is. Today it was reported on Matt Gutman's own Twitter account on March 13th. He logged this. and it's on my Facebook page. You can read it yourself. Matt Gutman wrote this. Sanford, Florida neighborhood watch captain who shot 17-year-old teen because he was black, wore a hoodie, walking slowly, likely not to be arrested. This is your unbiased news media, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Gutman wrote on his Twitter account that George Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin, shot Trayvon Martin, because he was black. On March 13th, 2 weeks after he was shot, and 2 weeks before he logged that first report claiming that George Zimmerman had no bruises. How is any of this fair, balanced, accurate, objective news reporting? How? In no way is this. This is so far from that. And it's disgusting. Some of the worst journalism I've seen in my life is happening right before our eyes, ladies and gentlemen, right before our eyes. And they're not being called on it. They're not being taken to task. We'll do our best here at Reese on the Radio to make sure that they are. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm David Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested
Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Peace on the Radio, and we're back 27 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. On this Tuesday, April the 3rd, 2012. JC, start that audio back, because that's some clear audio of the 911 call from George Zimmerman. I want to get that from the beginning. So, do you have that queued up? You ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. As if you haven't heard it 1,000 times, but this is the audio from the 911 call from George Zimmerman. I'm listening to this guy's voice. How can anybody say that George Zimmerman doesn't sound like the voice that's screaming? George Zimmerman's got a light voice.
Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready to go. Go for it.
Center Police Department. Lines being recorded. Sean.
Hey, we've had some break-ins in my neighborhood, and there's a real suspicious guy. It's Retrieview Circle. The best address I can give you is 111 Retrieview Circle. This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Okay, and this guy, is he white, black, or Hispanic?
He looks black.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, a dark hoodie, like a gray hoodie, and either jeans or sweatpants and white tennis shoes. He's here now. He was just staring.
Oh, he's just walking around the area.
At all the houses.
Okay.
Now he's just staring at me.
Okay. He said it's 1111 Retrieview or 111?
That's the clubhouse.
That's the clubhouse. Do you know what the... He's near the clubhouse right now?
Yeah, now he's coming towards me.
Okay.
He's got his hand in his waistband. And he's a black male.
Okay. How old would you say he looks?
He's got a button on his shirt. Late teens.
Late teens, okay.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with him. Yeah. He's coming to check me out. He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
Okay, just let me know if he does anything, okay?
Over here.
Yeah, we got him on the way. Just let me know if this guy does anything else.
Okay. these assholes. They always get away. Yeah. When you come to the clubhouse, you come straight in and make a left. Actually, you would go past the clubhouse.
Okay, it says on the left-hand side from the clubhouse?
No, you go in straight through the entrance, and then you make a left. Yeah, you go straight in, don't turn and make a left. Shit, he's running.
He's running? Which way is he running?
Down towards the other entrance of the neighborhood.
Okay, which entrance is that he's heading towards?
The back entrance.
Are you following him?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need you to do that.
Okay.
All right, sir, what is your name?
George. He ran.
All right, George, what's your last name?
Zimmerman.
And, George, what's the phone number you're calling from?
407-435-2400.
All right, George, would you have them on the way? Do you want to meet with the officer when they get out there?
Yeah.
All right, where are you going to meet with them at?
If they come in through the gate, tell them to go straight past the clubhouse. And straight past the clubhouse and make a left. And then they go past the mailboxes. You'll see my truck.
Okay, what address are you parked in front of?
I don't know. It's a cut-through, so I don't know the address.
Okay, do you live in the area?
Yeah.
What's your apartment number?
It's a home. It's 1950. Oh, crap. I don't want to get it out loud. I don't know where this kid is.
Okay, do you want to just be with them right near the mailboxes, then?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, George, I'll let him know to meet you with the out there.
Actually, okay? could you have him call me and I'll tell him where I'm at?
Okay, yeah, that's no problem.
You need my number or you got it?
Yeah, I got it. 407-435-2400.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, no problem. I'll let him know to call you when they're in the area.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It sounds to me like he's stationary.
No. No.
Why is
no,
he?
No
no
no,
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 no, no, no, no. Hold on. He says where I'll be. If he's following the kid, what do you mean? Why would he tell him where he'll be?
Listen,
you see? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. He says.
Okay,
he
but
says,
if you listen, you listen closely. You can hear him open the car door, and you hear him
that.
Pick up breath like he's walking or jogging.
Right.
And that's when.
He did follow him, but then
right.
He says where he'll be.
Right.
He says where he'll be. So he's got to be walking back to his car. He's got to be. Why is he telling the police officer where he's going to be? If he's following him, he's chasing him, JC, why would he tell the officer where he's going to be?
Exactly.
That means he wasn't going to be there.
Right, but Reese, if you look where the incident happened, in proximity from where he was.
I'm not believing that map. I'm not following the map.
That's an actual map. Hold on. That's an actual sky map of the complex.
No, I understand it's a sky map of the complex.
But if it tells you where he is in the beginning, on the corner of Retreat View, 1100 Retreat View, Twin Tree?
Right.
That's where he said he was. That's far away from where the shooting took place. Very far.
But my
this
question
is not a small
is,
complex.
No, it's a huge complex, that much I know. But why tell the police officer, why tell the 911 dispatcher where he's going to be?
Why
would you say that?
Well, the dispatcher told him to stay right by the mailboxes, and I'm looking at the mailboxes next to the clubhouse, and it's still far away from where the shooting took place. That's what the 911 guy on the phone told him to stay there. And it's still a far distance from
where... Doesn't it beg the question that if he got into a confrontation, like he originally started following Trayvon Martin, the police officer tells him to stop following him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's turning around, and I'm going, again, let's speculate here. He's going back to his car.
Mm-hmm.
and he ends up being confronted by Trayvon. Let's say that that's true. And he's on his way back to his car. According to where the fight took place, it's right around the corner from a housing complex. Is that correct? Where his car is parked. From where his car is parked, it's on the other side of where his car is parked. Is that fair to say based on the map you gave?
No.
Where is it?
No. It's on a total. It's on. Well, you gotta understand how the street is. The street is really, really windy, and these aren't small like complexes. They look
I'm
to
aware
be about maybe. It looks to be about the buildings itself. Looks to be about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight units to each building.
Right,
and he's
six
about,
units attached to each other.
Right,
sort of like
attached.
A row of houses.
Yeah, and it's like 1, 2, 3, 4 units away. So we're talking what? 4 times 6 is 24. 24 units away, and it's down around two corners from where he was. Now, when he says that he's running, and the cop and they had already told him not to follow him, there's no reason why they should, the shooting should have taken place where it was if he had stopped. He said he's running.
Yeah, but he ran away from his car. George Zimmerman leaves his car.
Right. And the cop told him, the cop said, because the 911 operator heard George's pace pick up with his voice, and I'm sure he heard the car door slam. He says, "Are you following?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Don't do that. Don't do that." Now, I don't, unless George is really, really quick, he shouldn't have made it past the first six houses. Before he said he's running.
And that's a little far-fetched.
You think so?
Extremely far-fetched. That he never should have made it?
No, he shouldn't have made it past his first six houses. He shouldn't have made it past the first six houses, I don't think. And then in between the houses, there's still like a huge gap in between the houses where there are trees. Which makes it a little even further down.
I don't buy it. Sounds too clean.
And if you look at, I'm gonna find one of the news reports where they show this long, long walkway where the shooting took place. It's very, very long, and the walkway itself is far from where Zimmerman said he was initially. He said he was at the entrance of the complex.
Still doesn't look far enough for me. I'm not in any way whatsoever willing to accept the idea that even if that's the case, it doesn't seem far enough for me. It doesn't seem far enough to me to say that George Zimmerman, if he's following him for a while and he's told to come back, he goes around, he's going back to his car. According to the diagram that you gave me, all he's doing is doubling back around the house. He couldn't
right.
have walked.
He went around the house to head him off.
He doesn't know where he went. He clearly said, "I don't know where this guy went." How can he say he was heading him off and doesn't know? How can he say he was heading him?
Had turned the corner to go all the way down to where his dad's girlfriend lived.
I don't agree with it. I don't.
And that's complete. That would be completely out of view from where he said he initially was. It would be completely out of view from where he said he was.
Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Not enough for me.
You know what? I'll get the address and Bing map it. Use Bing, and it'll give you a bird's eye view of the complex from above, and
still
you judge it for yourself.
I'm looking right at the diagram you gave me of the complex. I still don't agree. It doesn't
you see
look like
where he gave the address of 1100.
Well, no, I'm looking at the one that you gave me. It doesn't show what the addresses are.
No, you see the 1100 right there?
Uh-huh.
That's the 1100 building. Now, the lady who called 911 is where the red X is.
Still not enough for me. Still not enough for me.
Wow, I got to get the name of this complex. Because you got to see a bigger picture of this complex. Because right now it looks like we're staring at Legos.
You are absolutely right.
Look at the size of the pool.
I saw it. They said the size
of
the pool.
Look at the size of the lake.
The pool is relatively small.
And you know what's screwed up?
What's that?
Look at the shape of the lake.
What do you mean by the shape of the lake?
Looks like a pistol laying on its back. You see it?
Yes, I do. Tell me you find that kind of irony. I'm moving on. Look,
I got to go dig up this complex. I got to get the name of it. I got to get closer pictures so you can see the distance of that long walkway.
Exactly.
I thought the walk, when I showed it on the news, I said, damn, that walkway go on forever. But then again, it's a huge complex. I mean, they don't take projects and gate them in. This is a whole gated community.
I still don't agree. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I got plenty of other news I want to get into.
What else?
What's that?
I also heard that Kuhn remark as well. I'm sure you heard it. That was pretty clear.
We'll take a break when we come back. We got plenty of other news. Van Jones talking about homosexuals. Very, very weird. When we return, it's Roots on the Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day, and we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb fucks,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million. Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the Mill. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb fucks,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb twats,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Where's your runway?
Oh, it's Reese on the radio, and we're back 46 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. Van Jones.
I don't know whether or not I can honestly say I'm perturbed or I'm somewhat, I don't know. I'm perturbed by this, but I'm not surprised. Van Jones is a liberal, and he's also a homophobe. Now, how do I know this? Well, because that's what people say about people who make these kinds of comments. That's what liberals say all the time. But Van Jones says something that's extremely revealing, and when I say extremely revealing, it's extremely revealing about the African-American community. And the double standard is there. You see, if whites say something about homosexuals, they get raked over the coals. But nobody says anything when African-Americans, the hip-hop community, when they bash homosexuals. See, I'll say something like, I'm against gay marriage. Homophobe. But the black community, they get nothing. No scrutiny whatsoever. If you think I'm kidding, listen to what it is that Van Jones says. And just to give you some background on Van Jones is the former White House czar on green policy. You know, Solyndra and all that garbage. But when information came out that he was a 9/11 truther, supporting the Communist Party, they had to get rid of him. Oh, but he is still, he's telling the Obama line. He's so supportive of Barack Obama. And MSNBC, they can't get enough of him. They love him. New York Times loves him too. So this is an exchange that he had talking about Barack Obama and the likelihood, or lack thereof, that he would lose the black vote. And the other part of this conversation is about Barack Obama's stance on gay marriage, because he believes that marriage is between a man and a woman. He does. He does. That's 100% what he does. That's exactly what it is that he believes. But they were talking about whether or not Barack Obama's stance on gay marriage would affect him with the black vote. And this is how the exchange went on MSNBC.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the base, though. And, Van, when we talk about the president's position on some of this stuff, I mean, does he lose, if you talk about black voters versus, you know, progressive voters, Democrats, the idea of driving a wedge, do you think President Obama would lose some of the black vote if, in fact, he did come out in support of gay marriage?
I think if President Obama came out as gay, he wouldn't lose. President Obama's not going to lose the black vote no matter what he does.
That's right. President Obama's not going to lose the black vote no matter what he does. If he would have come out as gay, he wouldn't lose the black vote.
Now, here it is. People are sitting around laughing that he would lose the black. Would he lose the black vote if he came out in support of gay marriage? So clearly they know that African Americans don't support gay marriage. They know it. Do they get any scrutiny for it?
No. Why is that? Why doesn't the black community get any scrutiny for that?
Let's talk a little bit about the base, though. And, Dan, when we talk about the president's position on some of this stuff, I position on some of this stuff. I mean, does he lose, if you talk about black voters versus, you know, progressive voters, Democrats, the idea of driving a wedge, do you think President Obama would lose some of the black vote if, in fact, he did come out in support of gay marriage?
I think if President Obama came out as gay, he wouldn't lose. President Obama's not going to lose the black vote no matter what he does.
Not going to lose the black vote no matter what he does.
Yes, he is.
But it's funny. It's so funny.
There's so many black people that are not voting for him.
Oh, I know that. I know that now. That
so
no one's
the small voting. Amount of people, the small amount of black people in comparison to white people that exist in this country.
Oh, he's going to lose. It's down to 80%.
He can't afford to lose.
Any black vote.
10%.
You're absolutely right.
And he already has.
And you're absolutely right.
He didn't have those to begin with.
But I wanna. But I'm talking about a bigger. I'm talking about a bigger point here. You're absolutely right, man. The bigger point here is that here it is that they're clearly saying that African Americans aren't progressive enough, that they would not support Barack Obama if he came out and supported gay marriage. But Van Jones is saying, oh, he's not going to lose the black vote even if he came out as gay. He wouldn't lose the black vote. Really, Van? Really?
Yeah.
If Barack Obama came out tomorrow and said he was gay, do you think the black vote would stick around? I don't think
no.
so. I don't think so.
Only black gays would vote for him.
Exactly. Come on, JC. You got to chime in on this one. If Barack Obama said he was gay, would the black vote stick around?
Of course.
Really?
Of course they would. I think they would, yes.
Really?
I really do.
How about the hip-hop community?
I may have some issues there, but they don't vote anyways.
Oh, come on.
I'm
them down the black voters, they go, President's a puppy man?
He may lose some Jamaican votes.
Yes, he probably would lose some Jamaican votes. There's
no
way.
I don't think he would if he were gay, no.
70% of the African-American voter does not, 70% of the African-American community does not agree with gay marriage. They don't. If Barack Obama came out and said he was gay, I'm telling you, they would flip out. They would flip out. Come on, man.
You're talking about the same community that gave R. Kelly a pass.
Did they really give R. Kelly a pass? They kind of waited until, you know, all of the charges were dropped before they gave him a pass.
No.
There was a lot of scrutiny in R. Kelly.
Listen, they popped on every piece of music he put out there. During the whole time that trial was going on. In fact, he put out that feel-good music. I wish. And it's like, they were like, he couldn't have done that.
Was I wish out? No, I thought he was going
to
wish. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. He went from Nine Play to I Wish. To that kind of music. Yeah, really.
I don't know. I just don't. If you're saying that the black community doesn't care that a grown man has sex with a child, they don't care. That's the reason why R. Kelly didn't seem to take any hits within the African-American community as far as music was concerned. Some of the people out there who are rallying against him, it barely put a dent in his music career. Because they don't care about that. Because promiscuity in the African-American community is normally just they look past it. They don't care. They don't care whether or not, because the first person they would look at is the girl. Just like they did in the Rihanna situation with Chris Brown. They were willing to look past Chris Brown whipping Rihanna's ass and give him a pass because she probably deserved it. That's the African-American mantra. That's how they do things. It is.
And the African American really didn't give him a pass.
But
he
homosexuality,
and went pop.
I don't think so.
He flipped the script and went pop, though. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that African-Americans gave him a pass.
Look, let me give you a perfect example. I'll give you a perfect example, okay? Try this one off for size. Isaiah Washington. Right? Do you remember Isaiah Washington?
Rings a bell, but go on.
Okay, Isaiah Washington was on the TV show Grey's Anatomy.
Majority
of their viewership is white.
Right.
When it was found out that off camera, he called T.R. Knight an openly, well, pardon me, at that point, he was a privately gay man, and outed him in that little off-the-air, oh, cameras off, behind-the-scenes little tirade that Isaiah Washington had ripping, what's his name, Patrick Dempsey, saying, I'm not like your little F-word friend, you know, derogatory for gay. Friend, T.R. Knight was outed because somebody reported it to the news. Next thing you know, Isaiah Washington removed. No. Isaiah Washington said it to Patrick Dempsey. He says, I'm not one, like your F-word friend, T.R. Knight.
Yeah.
And the word got out, and Isaiah Washington, due to backlash from white audiences, was removed from Grey's Anatomy and killed off. Now, with all of that, Isaiah Washington still working in the black community on television and in Hollywood? Yes, he is. Right now, he's in a radio personality? Russ Parr? He's on Russ Parr. He's in Russ Parr's new movie. The black community embraced him, even though the white community wouldn't even give him a second look. Because
then
he
explain,
used that word. Say again?
Explain Tyler Perry.
But again, Tyler Perry, another perfect example. He give Isaiah Washington a job. The black community doesn't care that he called T.R. Knight or outed T.R. Knight by using a derogatory gay term. The white community cares about that. But African Americans, they don't care because they know how they feel about gays. You denounce homosexuality? Yeah, that don't. He ain't got no problem with us. We got a problem with them too. And they do, because they believe that homosexuals destroy the black family. In fact, they believe homosexuals destroy the black family more than they think Planned Parenthood or liberal views do.
Excuse me, but what black family?
That's the whole point.
There's been black family since the 60s.
Listen to me. They've got a problem with gays more than they have with white men who date black men who date white women. I'm telling you, they do. Because in the black community, church leaders tell them that homosexuality leads to AIDS. And you ask any basic African American person, they all say the same thing.
That's pretty long.
They believe that homosexuality leads to AIDS. That's the reason why they have no love for the gay community.
Okay, well, I don't think it's because for that particular reason. I think it's just that they're pretty much uneducated on it. They fear it. They fear HIV and AIDS more than slavery
itself.
That's
right.
The return of slavery.
More African Americans believe that gays carry the disease.
Yeah, that's because they're uneducated to it.
Of course, they're uneducated. So you can't tell me that if Barack Obama were to come out to be gay, that he wouldn't take a hit. He'd take a hit. A considerable.
I don't think so.
I don't know, man.
I think you lost on that one.
All right, we'll come back. We got more news for you right here on Blog Talk Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Television is a goddamn amusement park.
Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Hey, I'm a little man. It's for the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, Naga da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese on the radio, top of the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com, 1 minute after the hour on this Tuesday, April the 3rd, 2012. If you missed the first hour, just to let you know, and you're just joining us now, we are doing a full investigation to the reports that George Zimmerman was involved in a rally on January 8th, 2011, in regards to a homeless man named Sherman Ware who was punched in the face and beaten by a police lieutenant's son in Sanford, Florida. I am doing everything I can. The Orlando Sentinel is now on the job to get some information about it, and so is the Sanford, Florida City Hall. They are calling me back tomorrow, hopefully, that I will get some information from them, and they'll let me know what the deal is and whether or not George Zimmerman did indeed involve himself in this event to get justice for a black homeless man, and we'll see where that goes. I don't know whether or not it's going to happen, but I will give you all the updates tomorrow, so please make sure you tune in tomorrow. I will give you all the updates. I'll be on the phone with the Orlando Sentinel and with the Sanford City Hall tomorrow to get that info. Speaking of the Trayvon Martin case, there's been a lot made about the news media's coverage of this particular case when there are race implications, or there were race implications in the beginning, and whether or not the news media has covered other events that involve black people being killed or killing themselves, for that matter. Juan Williams, a contributor with Fox News, Thomas Sowell wrote a report, and a couple of others. In fact, yours truly. I wrote a story called The Case Against George Zimmerman and Us All, which you can read on ReeseOnTheRadio.com. And so I talk about that, as many others have, that there hasn't been any media attention when blacks kill blacks. It's literally just sort of like this running news gag, as I like to call it. It's a running news gag. Oh, let's just talk about, three people were killed in gang violence, and let's keep it moving. It's just a story about violence, if you get my meaning. There's no narrative. There's no marches. These, you know, so-called race-baiting civil rights leaders don't get involved. They're not there. And you know it. But one person that went public about this was Michael Nutter, who I often criticize, and for obvious reasons. He's a liberal, and in a lot of cases, a moron. And I don't have a problem with saying that, because he is a moron. He's a liberal, he's black, and he should know better than to be a moron. But in an interview he gave, he said something that I will consider profound, even for a moron. This was a question that someone asked him in regards to African-Americans being killed, because it's Michael Nutter. He's the mayor of Philadelphia. And violence in Philadelphia just, 4 or 5 years ago was literally at the national – it was higher than the national average. I think one year, if I can remember what year it was, they had like 256 murders within the first 78 days of the year. It was ridiculous. So Michael Nutter was asked about it and the media's coverage involving the Trayvon Martin case.
I think the role of the parent is paramount in virtually any discussion about things going on in neighborhoods, what's going on with our children, issues of violence, issues of education, issues of crime, and certainly quality of life in our community. Parenting is very tough. It's very serious. I have two children, it's not for the faint of heart. In many instances, people need help and support. That's why we have our social safety network. Philadelphia is called the Department of Human Services, and any number of other agencies can provide help and support to parents who may be struggling, kids may be acting out, have all kinds of challenges, but just not doing anything is really not an option, and we need to make sure that our children are safe and secure, that parents are actively engaged in their lives, that they know that they're going to school, that they're doing their homework, that they're being well-treated, fed, and taken care of, and then when school is out, that they're participating in, active, safe, nurturing programs and activities.
Obviously I have a problem with all that because all he's talking about is government programs, programs. That, it's really difficult for people and all they need are programs. Typical liberal garbage. Nutter should know better, and this is what makes him a moron. In my opinion, this is what makes him a moron. But I digress.
Lack of arrest of the perpetrator, Mr. Zimmerman, has really sparked a national conversation that is about Trayvon Martin and then is about a bunch of the other issues that we were talking about here today. Because of the difference between those two individuals in terms of race, that brings even more highlight, even more spotlight to this particular issue.
Again, another moronic statement. By, of course, Michael Nutter is now talking about how it's an issue of race. Again, this is why I call him a moron. Okay? No evidence that anything was racial. None whatsoever. He's in Philadelphia, not Sanford, Florida. Look, I don't need to have to tell you anymore. He's a moron. But I digress. Let's move on.
That doesn't mean that those murders are any less shocking to our conscience. That doesn't mean that those lives are any less valuable, no matter who they are or what they were doing. So I think that we need to have a serious conversation, not only about Trayvon Martin, and I won't take anything away from that discussion, but the thousands of people who were killed all across the United States of America, black, white, Latino, Asian, anybody else, is a serious national issue that deserves a serious.
So he again, it's a serious national discussion, but skirting the issue there, Mr. Nutter, I just love saying his name over and over again, Mr. Nutter, clearly shows that you don't have a grasp of the issues, which is why you're a complete moron. Bottom line, you're a complete moron. You could have made a very, very clear statement. There are Negroes killing other Negroes in your city.
And that's the reason why you need to pay attention to it. You can't take anything from the Trayvon Martin case because you don't know what's happening there. So get yourself together, Negro. Nothing can be more disgusting. It's just pathetic. I tried to give the guy an out. Tried to give him an out. But as Jeremiah Wright would call them, some of these, some of these Negroes just don't get it. That's what Jeremiah Wright said. Some of these Negroes just don't get it. It's pathetic. I've never ever been so insulted in my life. Hey, come on, JC, get on the line. Did you watch Sarah Palin this morning?
Wow. You're in the zone.
What's that?
You're in the zone.
Yeah, I'm in the zone. You watch my girl Sarah Palin this morning?
No, I missed it.
I am in love with this woman all over again.
Are you?
I'm in love with her all over again. I'm in love with her all over again. She is a firebrand. I dig this broad.
I always have.
Dig this broad. You know why? Because she dealt with Matt Lauer and that Today Show crowd with class and with grace. She was on point. She did the job this morning. I didn't even flip over to Katie Couric over on Good Morning America, and that's the show I watch because I never watched the Today Show.
That was basically her trial for her upcoming show.
Listen to me. I'm telling you right out the bat. You know what everybody's saying right now? Oprah wants to save the OWN network? Hire Sarah Palin. If she wants to save that fledgling network of hers, she needs to hire Sarah Palin. Because nobody's watching Oprah. They're done with her. They got buyer's remorse with Oprah. Dopra is, there's nothing about Dopra that anybody likes anymore. She hitched her wagon to the Obama administration, and her audience has left. They left the building. They're gone. They're out. They're Audi 5000, as they say.
And a lot of it's rubbed off on Gayle King, too.
Yeah. It's exactly. Everything is rubbed off. Here's a couple of segments of Sarah Palin on the Today Show.
Governor, it's nice to have you here. By the way, she told me a funny story. Tell everybody what happened when you were coming to 30 Rock yesterday.
Oh, geez, yeah. The nicest lady in the world. She stopped me, asked me where I was headed. I said 30 Rock, and she said, oh, honey, come here. I told you, Tina Fey is here.
Not Tina Fey. It is Sarah Palin, and we'll have much more with her throughout the
morning. Right. Welcome, Ms. Sarah Palin.
You are going to stick around and join us for our 8 o'clock hour, which technically makes you part of the mainstream media for that hour. I just want you to know. It's 7:30 now on a Tuesday morning, April 3rd, 2012. The governor taking over our studios here at 30 Rock. That's my dressing room, apparently now her dressing room. And she's taking notes, getting ready for some upcoming segments here as she joins us as a guest co-host in our 8 o'clock half hour. How's it going so far, Governor?
It's great. Thanks for letting me crash your dressing room, and now that I have your hair product. Because, you need hair product.
Yeah. Technically, I didn't give you permission to be in there, by the way, either. But we're going to have some fun with Governor Palin down here in a little while. How have you enjoyed being part of the mainstream media for the last hour?
Organized chaos. I've always said that if everything's under control, you're going too slow, as Mario Andretti says, too. So it's been a great morning.
Well, you know what it is? Sarah, or Governor Palin, told me a quick story earlier in the day. She was going to wear a different outfit today.
Yeah, I wasn't
going
to go all Johnny Cash on you today.
Right.
But what I showed up to wear, Matt, happens to be the same jacket, the pink jacket from my confinement shots that I had worn in an interview with you almost 4 years ago.
And you said this is not going to work.
Right.
job, and I hope you had a nice time.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
So that was Sarah Palin this morning on the Today Show. Now, let me give you my synopsis of this, and I'm going to do it in 4 minutes. Let me give you a breakdown, JC, if you didn't see it. With the exception of Donnie Deutsch and Star Jones, who was there. Now, you know, Biggie Draws, Star Jones.
Bubblehead. Go ahead.
No, Biggie Draws. No, she's still Biggie Draws.
No. She's back to Biggie Draws.
She's
right.
The Krispy Kreme donut from Fat Draws. Yes, she is. Trust me.
She hasn't seen her lately. She has gained her weight back.
She's gaining her weight back. She's doing she's doing the Oprah fluctuation. I'm dead serious. I'm calling her Biggie Draws. That's her name from now on. Biggie Draws.
Hold on. She's shaped like Luther in 1997.
He said she's shaped like Luther Vandross,
1997. Ouch.
Yes, that's a little ouch. Anyway, so with the exception of Donnie Deutsch and Star Jones, Biggie Draws, everybody in that room was fascinated by Sarah Palin. Let me give you a little breakdown. Now, Matt Lauer tried to get under her skin, and she blasted him. Everybody's talking about how she blasted him. That was great because he was asking her whether or not what advice she would give to Mitt Romney on picking a vice presidential candidate, and he went so far as to ask should Mitt Romney pick a candidate with a little more experience than you had. That's what he said. That's exactly what he asked her. Would you pick? Tell him to pick a candidate a little more experienced than you had. She responded right back at him and threw it right back in his face and just said, you know, pretty much, I don't give a damn what your opinion is of whether or not I had enough experience. But she said, I'll pretty much put my record as a CEO of the state up against any one of the vice presidential candidates from the last go around. And it would be better than anyone who was there. Just to give you a taste, I figure I'll let you hear it for yourself.
The GOP presidential race, voters are heading to the polls in Wisconsin, Maryland, and the District of Columbia today, and Mitt Romney is hoping the results will help him become the presumptive nominee. Fox News contributor and former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin is here with her take on the race. She's also the author of America by Heart, Reflections on Family, Faith, and Flag. Governor Palin, it's good to have you with us. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
So if Governor Romney does well in Wisconsin today, in Maryland and District of Columbia, it seems he is the nominee. Are you happy with that?
Anything is still possible.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me fast forward. That's all boring.
And in the choices that we have in the GOP now, All right,
got to fast forward a little more. Sorry. Got to get
out of the village. Is it a major flaw for a candidate at this stage of the game?
Have that ability to really.
Governor Romney, in your opinion, can all of a sudden develop that skill? He can get the guy sitting at the bar in Alabama.
We will be able to call out.
Let me just get to the point.
The stock market is looking better.
Yeah, this is Matt Lauer fawning over the President of the United States. You got to hear this part.
Are underwater, not for those who are having to settle at this point with a job that is not fulfilling for them financially.
When jobs are coming back, the numbers will come out on Friday. They could be 200,000 new jobs created. Manufacturing is looking better. The stock market is looking better. Consumer confidence is up.
We have fewer jobs today than when Barack Obama took over. And we have debt being incurred at $3 million a minute. Our government is spending too much money, and people are understanding that we cannot keep going down the path that we're heading.
Even the Speaker of the House, I sat down with him, John Boehner, last week. I said, is the economy improving? He said, yes, it is. And I said, so how do Republicans run against an improving economy? He said, you say it should be better.
It should be a lot better.
But is that a bumper sticker that's going to inspire people?
It should be a lot better. Look at this. Take just one example of an indicator of the economy that is still pretty hopeful.
Is it me or is it Matt Lauer sucking on the teat of the Obama administration? Here's the line. Here's it. Here it is.
Even more, be better in America than what we're doing today.
If Mitt Romney is the nominee, one of the first real major decisions he'll have to make is on a vice presidential candidate. When you were plucked from obscurity in 2008, you've been Alaska's governor about 2 years. You didn't have any real experience on the national stage. And in this era of intense media scrutiny, you took some lumps. You had mixed results, as we all know.
Wait, hold on. Just so I may get this correct, Obama started running in 2007. He took office in Illinois in 2005. He only had 2 years' experience. They would never say that about Barack Obama, plucked out of obscurity, whether or not Sarah Palin. They would never say that about Barack Obama, but yet she's being scrutinized for it.
Than you had at the time.
Well, you know, I would put up my record as a CEO of a city, of a state, as an oil and gas regulator, up against any of the other potential GOP vice presidential nominees last go around. So, you know, I'm proud to stand on my record as a private sector and a public servant CEO.
But if you were advising Mitt Romney, would you say go out and get someone who is battle-tested on a national level?
I would say it doesn't matter if that person has national-level experience or not. They're going to get clobbered by the mainstream media who does not like the conservative message. And it doesn't matter if that person has been a known commodity to the mainstream media or not. The GOP ticket, to tell you the truth, Matt, doesn't know what's coming. They don't know what's going to hit them in terms of double standards being applied to them and the positions that they hold and the records that they are running on from personal family issues to anything else. There will be that double standard applied no matter who it is. What I would advise Mitt Romney or whoever the nominee would be is don't necessarily play it safe and do just what the GOP establishment expects them to do, and that is to get somebody kind of just going along to get along, not willing to go rogue and shake it up and say that we need relentless and we need sudden reform of our government to put it back on the side of the people.
Got to give it to her. She kicked ass today. That's why I love her. She went there. She went in that house. She took names. She went in there. She took names.
She was there to guest host. Why are you hassling her?
Well, no. That's the whole thing. The first hour, that's what Matt Lauer and they wanted to do. They wanted to have a watershed moment where they had Sarah Palin up against the ropes and they can play that video over and over again and say, look how we lambasted her. Look how we sandbagged her. But she didn't. She came there. She's already been battle-tested. She's ready to go. She went out there and she kicked butt. Now, all the other stuff, she came out there, she had fun. So let me just say this before we go to break. Now, that was her opening. That was her opening interview before she guest hosted in the 8 o'clock hour. Here's where I tell you where people, I saw them fawning over her. And when I tell you the people who are fawning over her, you're going to be stunned. Tori Spelling was so locked in a conversation with Sarah Palin, they ignored Ann Curry. Ann Curry had to stand on the sidelines and watch them talk. And Tori Spelling was looking at Sarah Palin, engage her, and Sarah Palin was encouraging her how happy she was that she was having a new baby. How do you do it, Tori? Oh, my God, you're such a maverick. You're such a trendsetter. Look how cool you are. Ann Curry sat there befuddled because she never, ever saw anybody dominate the room like that. The other people who are in the room, there's this woman who does the health, that does like she does all the health segments. She kept tapping Sarah Palin when she was sitting next to her and leaning over to her and laughing and giggling with her privately. They were loving her every segment. There was another segment they were talking about dealing with your teenage daughter. The other two guests were loving her. The bottom line is that Oprah wants to save her network. Okay? She wants to save her network. Sarah Palin is the way to go. She's the new Dopra. She's the new Dopra. I'm telling you.
You know who she's grooming right now?
Dopra. What's that?
You know who Dopra's grooming?
Who's Dopra's opponent?
No, she's grooming Ayanna Van Zandt.
Ayanna Van Zandt?
Yep.
Nobody's going to watch her show.
I love her.
Yeah, I know. You and Mary both like Ayanna Van.
I like Ayanna Van.
Yeah.
Well, and I like her. I read a book by her, and I really thought that the book was really well written. It was very interesting. It's hard for me to get interested in a book, but
she peddles common sense. That's why she's whack.
She what?
She peddles common sense. That's why she's whack.
But you know what? She has a way of looking at things.
And peddling common sense, yes.
But if you've got common
sense.
She's
a charlatan.
No. I mean, even I like to think I've got some common sense, but she makes you look at things.
From a common sense.
Look at common sense issues from a different perspective.
Common sense. Listen to me. Who do you think is going to bring you more numbers, Sarah Palin or Ayanna Van Zandt?
Well, Sarah Palin's not in the running, though.
I'm asking you a question. If you and I ran a network and we had a choice of taking Ayanna Van Zandt or Sarah Palin, who we taking?
Mary, why are you bugging?
What's that?
Mary, why are you bugging?
The choice is Ayanna Van Zandt or Sarah Palin, who we taking?
Who for what?
I'm taking Mary and her show Much About Nothing.
On our network?
We're doing a network. We have our own network.
Sarah Palin.
Thank you. That's all I can say. Sarah Palin.
She'll win back her conservative audience.
Think about this. Think about the headline. Oprah Winfrey hires Sarah Palin. The whole narrative would be this. Oprah supports Barack Obama, but the opponent saves her network. Oh, I love it. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Well, now 36 on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio, 347-308-8701. And I guess some of the primary reports are coming in. Mitt Romney seems to be kicking everybody's butt. And okay, so he's not kicking butt in Wisconsin. What does he look like in Wisconsin? What's the
41 to 40% in Wisconsin.
Okay, so he's running close in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now on DrudgeReport.com that it is still, a dead heat, or at least a purported dead heat in Wisconsin. But D.C. and Maryland is a wrap for Mitt Romney. He has won both of those primaries. That looks like that's pretty much a wrap for everybody else there. I saw this story today. Let me rephrase it. I saw this story 2 days ago in the Sunday papers. JC, did you want to add something?
I was just going to say, but I was going to jump out anyways. But if Romney's smart, he'd use Centaurum.
Yeah, probably. But you know what? And people would make some sort of issue out of that, which, by the way, I want you, I want you to stay on the line because I need to talk to you about a story that came out today that involves WrestleMania. I don't know whether or not you heard it, I'll get back to it in a minute. Cause let me get to this story that I saw on Sunday. This is a story that came out of the Sunday papers. Park Slope parents, and this is Park Slope, Brooklyn. I'm very familiar with this area in Brooklyn. I used to live there. Park Slope parents want ice cream trucks banned to avoid testy tantrums from kids. And some of them want trucks to go somewhere else. Others say that the idea is extreme. You kidding? Now, look, don't get me wrong. Any kid today can go down the block and go pick them up a fudgy wudgy bar, a creamsicle,
a good humor, whatever. Do the kids still have good humor? I don't know. Good humor? I said that like an Italian. Kids can go get some good humor.
A blue bunny.
A what?
A blue bunny.
Yeah, blue bunny, whatever it is that they're doing today.
No matter where you can go and get, Maggiano's Italian ice.
Right, yeah, Maggiano's Italian ice. Hey.
Zeppoli. You can't get a Mickey Mouse ears from anybody.
But Mr. Softy. That's right, that's what I'm talking about.
You can't get a double swirl cone.
That's right.
Of soft serve ice cream.
That's right, where you going to get that?
But from Mr. Softy.
You can't get it from nowhere but Mr. Softy.
I'm appalled at this story because I lived in Fredericksburg, Virginia for 6 years.
That's right.
I saw a Mr. Softy.
Really?
Driving through the neighborhood and almost shat myself.
Whoa, Jesus Christ.
I chased the Mr. Softy down. I mean, seriously, because that's... I love ice cream, and that's one of the things that I miss about New York.
New York, right.
Is being able to go and get a soft serve ice cream from Mr. Softy.
That's what kids do.
As an adult, I was 33, probably.
And you ran after Mr. Softy.
No, I didn't run. I drove.
Oh, you got in the car and you drove.
I drove, because I was in the car when I saw them, and I made a U-turn to follow them. And literally was beeping the horn and asking them to pull over. Like, I'm the police, pull over, right?
Right.
The guy pulls over. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you so much. I'll pay you extra. I want this, blah, 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 blah.
Just so you can get a taste of home.
I get the freaking ice cream. It was horrible. I was so disappointed.
What was wrong with it?
But the chase. The fact that I saw, it was just, it wasn't, it, like, I was like, this is a Mr. 50. I don't know.
Mr. 50.
They're absolutely horrible now.
It was not like Mr. Softy ice cream. I don't know what was wrong with it. The cone was.
But it's a fabric of New York.
It's a
fabric
of
life when you are
but
in
But it's
New
the
York.
Ingredients that have changed.
It doesn't matter that the ingredients have changed. Let me just read the story.
It does. Listen,
dozens of recent comments.
They're not using
the ice cream that they used to use. I know, JC, I know. But it's still Mr. Softy.
Now,
it makes a difference. They're using...
Right.
It was something that we did. So that's what we do. Every time I go home, Mr. Softy comes around, we go outside, and we get ice cream at least one time throughout the entire time that I'm there.
That's what you're supposed to do. But let me just read the story. All right, I understand it. Let me just read the story. I don't care about the ingredients of Mr. Frickin' Softy. I don't eat the stuff anyway because I'm frickin' lactose intolerant. But nonetheless, I think little kids should be allowed to drink and to eat the Mr. Softy shakes and the sprinkles and the rainbow sprinkles and the chocolate sprinkles and the double swirls and the fudgy wudgy bars. Mickey Mouse ears. And the bomb pops. I don't care. But let me get to the
door. Eating that.
Anyway. Dozens of recent comments on a Park Slope parents' message blog said ice cream vendors need to leave the area, especially places around the playgrounds and parks, to help avoid afternoon meltdowns and temper tantrums from children craving frozen treats.
All because a parent cannot control their children.
Exactly. Ghosts, quote... Okay.
Whatever.
Quote, go somewhere else, go on another corner because it does make it too tempting for them. That's what Debbie Markovich said on Monday as her lactose intolerant daughter begged for ice cream. CBS 2 News. Yes, I know. CBS 2's Emily Smith found ice cream trucks
on nearly every corner, including a Mr. Softy truck, several icy carts, and a few frozen yogurt mobiles. Though a sentiment exists among some to move the ice cream trucks from frozen treat fanatics, said banning a staple like Mr. Softy is simply un-American. Quote, a little extreme, a little treat is a good thing, one woman said. They're walking down the street, and my kid wants everything, every toy they see. Does that mean we should... Oh, I hate CBS News. They always update the page while I'm in the middle of reading the damn story. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is, get a hold of yourself, you pathetic parents. Tell your kid no. He's going to forget about it later.
Or stop sparing a rod.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Daddy.
You know what you do? You shake the damn kid up. You shake him up, not to where you send him into a coma.
You can't shake the kids. It's against the law. You do that,
No. I'm not, that's babies.
No, I'm saying you can't
game.
Shake the kid either. You have to.
I'm with you. I say shake the shit out of him.
Hey, you cannot curse on my show. Please.
And you know what I say? I say get an ice cream cone and eat it in their face.
That's even cooler.
My kids grew up.
Listen
on
to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm telling you. Okay.
Get all messy with it.
Kids say, "Daddy, can I have an ice cream?" No, you cannot have an ice cream from Mr. Softy. Mr. Softy has mice. Or Mr. Softy has maggots. Or Mr. Softy is under review, and the news yesterday said don't eat Mr. Icy between June 26th and September 9th. Now, if you know anything about your kids, you know that that's during summer vacation.
Right.
You're not allowed. You cannot eat ice cream in the summer. You can have it on the first day of school, but, Daddy, there's no ice cream trucks out in September. Are you serious? I saw them out in September, and you're done. You don't want to get poisoned, do you? Nobody should have ice cream in the summer because milk, if it sits out in a hot day, that means it's going to curdle in your stomach, and then you're going to get sick. And if you get sick, you're going to sit in the hospital, and they don't feed you ice cream in the hospital. They feed you yogurt
and broccoli.
Really? Really? That's your freaking solution.
It works.
Lie to the kids. Tell them that.
I'm not lying.
You are lying.
It's called effective deception.
No. You tell them, okay, you don't, bum chica?
Tell
your little nappy head ass in the house and get one of them icies out the freezer.
Once a week is a treat, whatever, but you can't have it every day.
All right. You guys are just, you got no imagination.
And they took the butterfat out of the cream. That's why it's nasty.
I understand they took the butterfat out of the ice cream. This is why I won't eat it. I do eat ice cream. I enjoy ice cream. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love some Swiss almond.
They just don't
almond.
Love you.
Yeah, just don't love me. I love some Swiss almond. I like some butter pecan.
Butter
I love that stuff. Yes,
and
I love
Reese?
Ice cream. What are you trying to say?
Ice cream trucks have been out here since late February.
It's been warm enough for them to be out since late February, JC.
They have been out.
That's the reason why.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's late February.
Last story, speaking of food and the food police, it is important that I bring up this story about Michelle Obama. Now, I'm a little ticked off at this woman today.
Did you see her outfit at the Kids' Choice Awards?
Well,
she's
no.
A freaking moron. Just like our
husband. Ooh, that's vicious. Michelle
Call
Obama.
Back. We're talking about the outfit now.
Michelle Obama to kids. To kids. Tell grandparents they are wrong for not voting for my husband.
No, she did not.
I'm dead serious. Michelle
Obama. No, the hell, she didn't.
Yeah, she did. Michelle Obama, who has quickly become the Obama campaign's tip of the spear, when it comes to the fundraising and vote getting, is now stumping for children to convince their great-grandparents to vote for her husband at an event in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park, for which tickets cost at least $500, Michelle said. I mean, I can tell you in the last election how many grandparents I ran into who said, I wasn't going to vote for Barack Obama until my grandson talked to me, until my great-grandson talked to me and talked about the future he wanted for this country. You can get out there with your parents. You guys can knock on doors. I had one young lady who brought me a petition. She's already working. You can convince wrong people. Sometimes we don't listen to ourselves, but we listen to our children.
Okay, so now she's going to be able to work. Are you paying?
No, of course not.
Are they on payroll?
No, they are not.
You know why they're not on payroll?
Because
they're underage.
That's right.
Because she can't put them on
payroll. Now she's got
now
kids.
Now you're slaving children.
That's right. Slave labor. Tell your grandma.
Slave children like they do in China, the socialist country.
That's right. That's right.
To tell their grandparents that are about to probably keel over and die.
You vote for Obama.
After this next peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Vote for Obama now. You go, Grandma. Go vote for Obama.
Obama.
That's right, Miss Obama. Say, you must vote. Go vote for Obama.
Now, she was still hot at the Kids' Choice Awards. Now, what happened to WrestleMania?
It's going to be out the window. And, Grandma, don't you want me to grow up and have every opportunity in the world?
All right, Mary.
Oh, God, get over yourself.
Okay, so, look, WrestleMania, you were already here on the show yesterday. We were talking about WrestleMania. I had to go to our resident know-nothing, Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery, to ask what spectacle happened in WrestleMania on Sunday. You weren't here to talk about that. So do me a favor. Was Maria Menounos the only spectacle that took place?
Wait, let's ask him why he wasn't here. We'll talk about
nah,
that.
I'm not talking about that.
Why was Maria Menounos the only spectacle that took place in WrestleMania? Where were the celebrities?
It sucked. There were no celebrities this year. She's no damn celebrity.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Flo Rida performed.
Really?
And Machine Gun Kelly.
They had Flo Rida? I would have watched that. Damn.
They have Flo Rida and Machine Gun Kelly.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's it.
So that was it.
That was it.
Okay.
That
well,
was...
did you hear
well,
about
I'm sorry,
this?
I'm sorry. Brock Lesnar's back from UFC.
So Brock Lesnar was there. So that was the biggest spectacle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, they didn't put anything out on this story. Okay, well, here was a story that I wanted to get into. Not that I think that there's going to be some sort of, like, campaign against WrestleMania or the WWE, but I was wondering whether or not you heard this story. They're saying a 24-year-old man on Sunday night died when authorities say he stopped breathing while wrestling with a young cousin on the floor. They say that the 14-year-old put the 24-year-old man, in a chokehold. Not a chokehold.
Really?
He said the 14-year-old cousin began to wrestle on an inflated mattress on the floor. The juvenile, who is 5 feet 6 inches tall and weighs 110 pounds, placed his arm around the neck of his cousin, who was 5 feet 10 inches tall and weighed 220 pounds, in a move commonly known as a rear naked chokehold. For about 30
right.
to 40 seconds. Witnesses reported that he would not give up or tap out, as they said.
She?
That he would not tap out. But at some point, someone noticed that he was turning blue and told the youngster to release the hold. When he did, witnesses realized that he had stopped breathing and they dialed 911 shortly after 10 p.m. His girlfriend tried to revive him with CPR. He was transported to St. Charles Parish Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. That kind of sucks.
Where did this happen at, though?
This looks like some Canadian town. Yeah, I don't even know where this was. This looks like a Canadian place. Like
wow.
Some French Canadian. Yeah, it was clearly French Canadian.
Well, they usually use rear naked chokeholds in MMA. They don't use that in the WWE.
But come on, man. A 14-year-old killed this 28-year-old, 220-pound uncle cousin? Damn.
Yeah. But, not to jump ship from this story, because I don't know, what are they going to do, a protest? They're going to protest the MMA for that one. And anybody who lets this kid watch MMA. Because in order to execute that maneuver, you have to be a little bit skilled to do that. You got to be. But I wanted to ask you, were you going to touch upon the Mega Ball mess?
What was that? Say again?
The Mega Ball mess.
The Mega Bomb?
Mega Ball, Mega Ball.
Oh, Mega Ball. Oh, I can't talk about that. I want to know whether or not this Baltimore woman really has a ticket. That's all I She don't have nothing. She got nothing. She needs to take care of them seven kids and them two guys at McDonald's. That's what she needs to do. Stop being greedy. Barack Obama said, stop being greedy. Was she greedy? Ain't it funny? All of these Negroes are all talking about how we need to share like this woman wins the lotto. I ain't giving them nothing. I bought this ticket by myself. But yet,
but she was in charge of the pool.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. She's telling everybody to pay that fair share, but she going to keep all that money. I did not buy that ticket with the money that them gave me. I did not buy that ticket with the pool money. Me and someone else, we go down afterwards to make another purchase of another ticket. This ticket is ours, not theirs. No, I'm just using any West Indian accent I want to.
Oh, she's West Indian?
Yeah, man. She's Haitian or from Barbados or from Belly. I don't care. I don't care. She's from Rihanna Town, Bujubantan Town, Yellowman Town.
But did they say she was West Indian?
I don't know where she's from. She got seven kids and curly hair, but obviously wear a weave.
That's a wig.
Whatever. But she's sitting up there talking about, this is my ticket. I purchased it for myself. It's not a part of the group. It's not McDonald's ticket. It's not their ticket. It's not his ticket. It's my ticket.
She's trying to bail her country out.
You're damn right. She's going to take that money and run. Take that money and run.
Take a flock of goats with her.
What's that? Run the people. Run it. Why did that thing go? How did that song go? I don't know how that damn song. I don't know that reggae stuff to us. Row the boat. Row the boat. Row the boat. That's what it is. Row the boat. Row the boat.
Signal the blades.
Kick the line. I don't know what the heck those Jamaicans are saying. I don't know. Who's the real ugly Jamaican with the yellow hair?
Yellowman.
It's not Yellowman.
Yeah, it is Yellowman.
No,
you're talking about
Daddy Yankee's Puerto Rican. It's the other one. He's real ugly. He's got yellow dreads. He's got to be the most
Elephant
ugly. Elephant Man. Of course, man. Ugly. That's the one. Pondy River. Pondy Time. Pondy River. Pondy
he
time.
Makes Shabba Ronks look desirable.
That's what she's going to do when she leaves Baltimore. Row the boat. Row the boat.
Lord Jesus.
We go back to our homeland, babies. Row the boat. Row the boat.
Everybody at the same time. Push.
Push. Look, I don't know whether or not this woman really got the money. But if she's really got the ticket, she needs to just, you know. I mean, come on. Give the guys $50 million. Y'all split that, 25 apiece. You know what I'm saying?
The fact that
Barack
needs to split it evenly.
How much money do you need?
Listen, she needs to split it evenly. She was in charge of the pool. when we did a pool at work, when lottery got up real high, we killed one person.
She has proof, JC. She showed it to the news reporter, Channel 4 News in D.C. She showed him. These are the papers from the pool that we all got in. The winning ticket's not in this pool.
Okay, listen. What? No, no, no. That doesn't prove nothing. If she's got all the tickets, that doesn't prove anything.
No, 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 no. Hold on, JC. Let me answer Mary. She says that we all went in the pool. When the news reporter asked her about where's her winning ticket, she wouldn't show it. But she showed copies of the tickets they all bought together. And she had that in her hand in the news report. So she's clearly saying, look at these tickets. This is the copies that they have too, and I have them. It's not the winning ticket. I went and bought a separate ticket. Now, to be honest with you,
no, there's a problem with that, though. You're missing something.
Go ahead.
They told her to pick up 5 more tickets for the pool because somebody came into the pool late. And she picked up 5 fresh tickets for the pool.
No. I'm not with that. Yeah, you're going to have more people that come into the pool late after I go down there to go do the pool. Nah, you're late. You're out.
No, but she accepted the money and went and bought the tickets.
But you can't prove that, Jake. That's what I'm saying. They can't prove anything under the court of law. They can't prove it.
Okay, but listen, they're saying that they look at the videotape where the ticket was bought, and on the surveillance tape, at the time that the ticket was bought, there was a man at the counter.
I don't believe it. I don't even believe she's got the ticket. That's just me. I don't believe she's got the ticket. I think she's BSing everything.
If she had that winning ticket, it was one of those 5. I'm telling you.
You're probably right, but I don't believe it. We'll wait and see. She probably does have the ticket. She probably got the key down in a safe. Can't nobody touch it. She's getting that vote. She's some West Indian, African, Haitian, something like that.
No, African sounds different. West Indian.
Whatever. I can't tell what her voice is. All I know, it ain't black. It sounds like something like a, you know. He doesn't know. He has no clue.
Well, he's West Indian.
He never heard her voice. Punt scribble.
I'm looking her ass up now.
What's that?
I'm looking her up now. I'll tell you what island she's from.
What do you call it? I don't even know what to call her.
She could be Diana.
That's exactly what she is. I don't trust
I'd buy
that
my own person. Damn island, I would.
Yeah.
She needs to buy us a radio station.
Before we go, party coming up in a couple of days, right?
Friday.
Old school jam. I'm done with this one. I don't like Marvin Gaye. I'm done with him. What else we got here?
So I get around it.
Yeah, Roy.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Young DJ,
yeah.
Yo, shook 'em. Choose to dance our way out of our constriction. Call the beat freaking up and down the hang up alleyway.
You got to be playing some good music there, man. I wish we could come. I totally wish I could be there.
I'm going to try to videotape some of it, and I'm going to try to hook up a webcam.
Oh, that would be hot.
Yeah, I'm going to hook up a webcam.
We could at least see some of it.
It's going to be a wild one.
Oh, I assume it will be, because I know you're not going to have...
We're talking about project folk.
Project folks.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our show for tonight. 10 seconds left. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, we're going to have more information on George Zimmerman and the Trademark Martin case.
It's Reese on the Radio. We love you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
I'm a minstrel man, the cleaning man, I'm the pole man, I'm a shoeshine man, I'm a nigger man.